Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me? Okay, thank you. So today is November 26, 2022. And before we start, let's all kneel for prayer, if you can. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful once again as we gather together to worship and glorify your holy name this Holy Sabbath day. It's truly a delightful day today, O Lord. Please give us, Lord, an excellent connection of the internet so there will be no obstruction in fellowshipping together online with our different brethren around the world. We uplift to you all the prayers of your beloved children, and may you answer them in accordance to your holy will, for you know what is best for each one of us. We invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us today, O Lord, to enlighten us with your holy words that we are going to partake. Please, Lord, guide my tongue as I speak in your behalf, as well as those who are speaking in your behalf this Sabbath day. Please give us comfort, peace, joy, and love in our heart. Please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we committed against you, whether it's public or in secret. We all want to be worthy before you, Lord. Thank you so much for your promised blessings for this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So I'll post the link of our study so you can follow along. And those who are in the WTPR, just type in your browser the URL sdrmovement.org/note/110522-ikabod1.html. Okay. Okay, we will start on item number 14 on the study note, because this is a continuation of our study entitled Ichabod, the Glory Has Departed, which is about the brief history on how the SDA Church apostatized and fall. And just to recap briefly, in 1844, the SDA Church started as God's true church out of the fallen Protestant churches who rejected the first and second angel's message of Revelation 14. Okay, mic is too low. Let me adjust. Thank you. How about that? Mic test. Let me adjust again. Okay. Mic test. How about now? Is it better? All right. Okay. So let's continue. Praise the Lord. Okay, again, as a recap for those who didn't hear it. In 1844, the SDA Church started as God's true church out of the fallen Protestant churches who rejected the first and second angel's message of Revelation 14. The SDA Church received the greatest light from heaven, and God entrusted them to give the last message of warning to the world. But they also received a solemn warning that they can repeat the history of Jerusalem, leading to its apostasy and destruction if they refuse to walk in the platform of truth and reject God's warnings, because God's promises had always been conditional on obedience. And the question is, did the SDA Church repeat the history of Jerusalem? Yes, indeed. Because Sister White said in Manuscript 129, 1905, paragraph 6, she says, "The Lord has declared that the history of the past shall be rehearsed as we enter upon the closing word." Now, by understanding why testimonies were written at different times throughout the history of SDA Church is very important point. Because by noticing the date of the testimonies and writings as you read them and the events taking place, we can get a clearer understanding and see without any doubt whether Christ or Satan is the leader of the SDA Church. In fact, she laid down the principle by saying in 1 SM 57, she says, "Regarding the testimonies, nothing is ignored, nothing is cast aside, but time and place must be considered." So far, we learned that as prophesied in the year 1867, as you look at the notes, that the SDA Church will carry a cross like the Catholic, as is stated in Volume 1, Testimony 578. The fulfillment of that prophecy happened exactly when they officially adopted the logo with the sign of a cross as their identity in the 1990s. Okay, so let's go and look at the year 1868. On page 439 to 440 of the Testimonies, Volume 2, this is dated October 2, 1868. Sister White says, "I was shown the state of God's professed people. Many of them were in great darkness, yet seemed to be insensible of their true condition. Men who stand in very responsible positions at the heart of the work are asleep. Satan has paralyzed them in order that his plans and devices may not be discerned, while he is active to ensnare, deceive, and destroy. Some who occupy the position of watchmen to warn the people of danger have given up their watch and recline at ease. They are unfaithful sentinels. They remain inactive while their wily foe enters the fort and works successfully by their side to tear down what God has commanded to be built up. They see that Satan is deceiving the inexperienced and unsuspecting, yet they take it all quietly as though they had no special interest, as though these things did not discern them. These reproofs and warnings disturb the quiet of these sleepy, ease-loving sentinels, and they are not pleased. These are the true feelings of many of our people, and Satan exults at his success in controlling the minds of so many who profess to be Christians. He has deceived them, benumbed their sensibilities, and planted his hellish banner right in their midst, and they are so completely deceived that they know not that it is he." This was so true. The church is asleep at this time, and they were deceived. In 2T 337, she says, "Men are in the last hours of probation, and yet are careless and stupid, and ministers have no power to arouse them. They are asleep themselves." So, Sister White declared that the SDA leadership to be asleep, and paralyzed by Satan, and they allowed Satan to plant his hellish banner in the midst of them. The SDA Church dishonored God by departing from the light, neglecting her duties, and abusing her high privilege as God's favored people like the ancient Israel. Therefore, Christ and the Holy Spirit were quenched. She actually tried to set before God's people their danger and their sins. She endeavored to arouse and remind them that man could be saved only in God's appointed way. Did the SDA leadership heed the warning and repent? Did they try to awake the members and warn them of their danger? Surely not. Now, let us look at the present SDA Church. Look at the banner of Rome. The Vatican flag, which represents and symbolizes the ecclesiastical and political power of the Catholic Church. This Vatican flag was seen flying at the 1995 and 2022 General Conference of the SDA Church. You can see that on the note page. And it's so obvious to those who have eye to see that the SDA Church were completely deceived. They are asleep and then paralyzed until now at the present time. Again, the Vatican flag represents and symbolizes the ecclesiastical and political power of the Roman Catholic Church. And what did Jesus said when you see this banner of Rome, the idolatrous banner of Rome in Jerusalem or in the church? In 4SP or Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 26, she says, when the idolatrous standards of the Romans should be set up in the holy ground, which extended some furlongs outside the city walls, then the followers of Christ were to find safety in flight. When the warning sign should be seen, judgment was to follow so quickly that those who would escape must make no delay. So, this banner, idolatrous banner of Rome, is a warning sign to escape without delay. And why do they have to escape without delay? Because in Christ's object lesson, page 281, she says, it is unsafe to delay obedience. Okay, moving forward, in the year 1875, another warning was given to the SDA General Conference leadership in Battle Creek about the future. Sister White stated in 40210 to 211, this was dated January 5, 1875, if the heart of the world becomes corrupt, she's talking about the General Conference, the whole church in its various branches and interests is scattered abroad over the face of the earth, suffers in consequence. Satan's chief work is at the headquarters of our faith. So this is the Battle Creek, the General Conference. It is Satan's plan to weaken the faith of God's people in the testimonies. Next follows skepticism in regard to the vital points of our faith, the pillars of our position. Then doubt as to the Holy Scriptures, and then the downward march to perdition. And when the testimonies which were once believed are doubted and given up, Satan knows the deceived ones will not stop at this, and he redoubles his efforts till he launches them into open rebellion, which becomes incurable and ends in destruction. So, the warning was given to General Conference, if the headquarters of the SDA Church becomes corrupt, then everything connected with the General Conference throughout the whole world will also be affected with the corruption. And that's what you call corporate sin. The sins of the leadership make the whole church body responsible, meaning even if an individual member did not personally participate in the sin committed by the corporate leadership, yet they are held responsible because of their connection, association, or union with this corrupt body. Perhaps we will learn more of this in the future studies, God willing. So, in addition to the warning, if this corruption occurs in the great general conference, what will happen? Sister White said that the testimonies will be disbelieved, the pillars of our faith will be given up, the Holy Scriptures doubted, then incurable rebellion follows, bringing destruction upon the SDA Church. Let's jump to 1881 and see what was the condition of the SDA Church at that time. In Special Testimony, page 80, July 1881, you can find these two in Volume 5 of Testimony, pages 94-95. She says, I saw that the very spirit of perjury that would turn truth into falsehood, good into evil, and innocence into crime, is now active, doing a work which savors of hell rather than of heaven. Satan exults over the condition of God's professed people. So as we have learned, SDA leadership doubted the testimonies and God's warnings unheeded, and they were leading God's people into Satan's trap. Although repeated warnings were given to them, the spirit of perjury is really active. What is this perjury? They know the act is what? They're making a false statement, and it is a crime in the sight of God. The truth is turned into falsehood. So let's proceed in the year 1882. After James White died on August 6, 1881, Sister White wrote in 1882, some of the strongest rebukes to the Battle Creek Church, because she knew that a crisis must come, and because of continual backsliding and disbelief in the testimonies of the Spirit of God. She says, in 1546, this dated March 28, 1882. I knew that a crisis must come. God has given these people plain and pointed testimonies to prevent this state of things. Had they obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit in warning, counsel, and entreaty, they would now enjoy unity and peace. But these testimonies have not been heeded by those who profess to believe them. And as a result, there has been a wide departure from God and the withdrawal of His blessing. She wrote in 5217, dated May 30, 1882, I am filled with sadness when I think of our condition as a people. The Lord has not closed heaven to us, but our own course of continual backsliding has separated us from God. Pride, covetousness, and love of the world have lived in the heart without fear of banishment or condemnation. Grievous and presumptuous sins have dwelt among us, and yet the general opinion is that the church is flourishing and that peace and spiritual prosperity are in all her borders. The church has turned back from following Christ, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt, yet few are alarmed as astonished at their want of spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the Spirit of God is leavening our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. Ministers who preach self instead of Christ would have it thus. The testimonies are unread and unappreciated. God has spoken to you. Light has been shining from His word and from the testimonies, and both have been is slighted and disregarded. The result is apparent in the lack of purity and devotion and earnest faith among us. The following month, on June 20, 1882, Sister White pointed out the true condition of the church. And on these passages, I will just highlight what she said to save our time. In 5P64, the church was assimilating to the world. Okay. In 5P76, she said that they are following the same path as Israel. Why? Because in 5P79, you can read that the ministers are corrupt as well as the church are corrupt, and there is a prevailing spirit of apostasy. And in volume 5, page 83, she said that the church is being weighed and may be found wanting, and there might be a necessity of coming out of separation. So, at this point, I will suggest you read the entire warning and reproof to the Battle Creek Church, if you have a chance, in the book entitled Testimony for the Battle Creek Church. This is the original one, pamphlet number 17, 117, pages 4166. And take note, the title of this letter is Testimonies Rejected. But if you will go to volume 5 of the testimonies, pages 62 to 84, the title is changed. It says that testimonies is lighted. So therefore, the General Conference leadership has changed the title from, you know, testimonies rejected to testimonies is lighted. They also omitted other important points on this present edition. Why? To cover up and try to find the truth of what was really happening during this time in 1882. Truly, Satan's chief work is at the headquarters of SDA Church. So on that link, you can see the original one. Okay, in November 7, 1882, Sister White also gave a warning that the church becoming a harlot. She wrote in Review and Herald, "We have enjoyed the great light and many privileges. Shall we turn away from all these blessings and sacrifice the peculiar holy character which should distinguish us as children of God? If we thus slight the mercy of God, the judgments against Capernaum will surely fall upon us. Our punishment will be heavier than if he had not enjoyed so great light." Thus the warnings, reproof, and counsels which accepted and obeyed would bring us untold blessings, become a curse when they are rejected. Can Christ say of his professed followers, "These are peculiar people? I gave myself for them to redeem them from all iniquity, that they should show forth my praise, who have called them out from darkness into marvelous light"? Would not the Lord say rather, "How is the beautiful city become a harlot and my father's house a place of merchandise? Because of your unbelief, I cannot do many mighty works among you." So, there's a warning of becoming a harlot like Israel, and that a separation of God's true people out of church might be a necessity because the spirit of apostasy is prevailing, because the church is corrupt. So moving forward in 1883, about 6 weeks before the 1883 General Conference session, Sister White made this statement because of the doubt and disbelief on the spirit of prophecy prevailing in the SDA Church. She says in Review and Herald, October 16, 1883, "I will not shun to declare the whole counsel of God, unpleasant as it may be. I must warn, reprove, as God bids me. Whether the carnal heart will accept or reject the words of warning. For 40 years, Satan has made the most determined efforts to cut off this testimony from the church, but it has continued from year to year to warn the erring, to unmask the deceiver, to encourage the desponding. My trust is in God. I have learned not to be surprised at opposition in any form or from almost any source. I expect to be betrayed as my master by professed friends." Yes, Sister White continues to give the warning of God even though she was betrayed by her professed friends who want to change the testimonies or the spirit of prophecy. And then, the 1883 General Conference comes, took place in November, and they appointed a committee of five to change the testimonies of the Holy Spirit. This consisted of Butler as a chairman, Haskell, Uriah Smith, Wagoner, and her son, Willie White. I will just quote the resolution number 33, which is highlighted, and this was the reason why they changed the testimony according to them. Okay. In 33 resolutions, they said, "Whereas many of these testimonies were written under the most unfavorable circumstances, the writer, being too heavily pressed with anxiety and labor to devote critical thought to the grammatical perfection of the writings, and they were printed in such haste as to allow these imperfections to pass uncorrected." So they said, resolve that this body appoint a committee of five to take charge of the republication of these volumes according to the above preambles and resolutions. You can get these archives on the Adventist Archives, Review and Herald. So, the Committee of Five resolved to change the original volumes of testimony books or the Spirit of Prophecy because they contained grammatical errors as their excuse. But Sister White refuted the above argument from the 1883 GC resolution. In 1 SM 57, I quoted that earlier, I quote it again. "Regarding the testimonies, nothing is ignored, nothing is cast aside, but time and place must be considered, nothing must be done untimely. Some matters must be withheld because some persons would make an improper use of the light given. Every jot and tittle is essential and must appear at an opportune time. In the past, the testimonies were carefully prepared before they were sent out for publication, and all matter is still carefully studied after they were after the first writing. In other words, the original writings do not have any imperfection at all." Excuse me. "For they were carefully prepared before they were published, so that they are lying." Okay, let's go back. "For the documentation, let me share to you the admission of the SDA leaders in recent years that the SDA Church and the testimonies were not because of grammatical errors, as they claim, in 1883. Okay. In April 1994, issue of Ministry Magazine, page 10 to 12, they admitted, and I quote, Mrs. White's remarks concerning the revision were not recorded, but whatever she said, the General Conference session did not choose to cite her authority for their action. Relatively few changes involve actual grammatical errors. The vast majority of wording changes did not involve grammatical errors at all. There you have it. Also in 1992, they published in Adventist Review, November 19, page 8 to 10, they said here, is it legitimate to change, abridge, or simplify Ellen White's writings? The answer is yes. We can change, abridge, or simplify the words, but we do not have license to change the intended message. Here's why. Seventh-day Adventists do not hold to verbal inspiration. That means we do not believe that God dictated the words for Ellen White to use. In the years since Mrs. White's death in 1915, more than 50 new compilations or editions of Ellen White's books have been prepared by the Ellen G. White States. In every case, including editions that have been abridged, condensed, or simplified, the intended message has never been lost. Only the wording has been changed. Again, they are lying on this, because they said that it did not, all the changes and wordings did not involve grammatical errors at all. So there you have it. This only shows that the 1883 General Conference resolution to change the spirit of prophecy was founded upon presumption, a disbelief and doubt of the testimonies, and was set as a precedent for the tampering and changing of the original spirit of prophecy writings. Satan's plan was success. It was a success because of the rejection of the original spirit of prophecy. It has resulted in the apostasy and fall of the SDA Church. For more detailed information on how the SDA Church changed the original Spirit of Prophecy, you can read the booklet entitled Reviving the Original Spirit of Prophecy Writings, found in the sdrtracts.org and remnantofgod.org. Also, you can watch many short videos showing how the SDA Church changed the SLP books. If you visit Nicholas POGM YouTube playlist entitled SDA Changed SOP. Now, second to the last quotation, I will read. In letter 5, 1883, Sister White stated this solemn warning to the SDA Church. She says in letters 5, 1883, all are given the same opportunity that was granted to the first rebel to demonstrate the spirit that moves them to action. It is God's purpose that everyone shall be tested and proved to see whether he will be loyal or disloyal to the laws which govern the kingdom of heaven. Satan is preparing to work through his human agencies in secrecy. We must know the reason of our faith. Many are holding the truth only with the tips of their fingers. They have had great light and many privileges. Like Capernaum, they have been exalted to heaven in this respect. In the time of test and trial that is approaching, they will become apostates unless they put away their pride and self-confidence, unless they have an entire transformation of character. Out of the divine forbearance, the SDA Church as a whole were kept from God's judgments. The apostasy of the church had started, but was not fully revealed in 1883. If the professed SDA Church will not repent, they will be receiving the same condemnation of God that fell upon Capernaum, and God will be forced to denounce the SDA Church as harlot or a sister to fallen Babylon, and that would result of her complete fall. Will the warnings and reproof of God through his messenger, Sister White, lead the GC into repentance? Definitely not. The SDA apostasy continues to be bold since then, up until now. The SDA leadership of today, if you will notice, they do not preach and echo this present truth in their pulpit anymore, because they are openly twisting and taking the statements of Sister White out of context. Why? To hide the truth and to make its members believe that they are still the chosen people of God, regardless of the apostasies being committed by the General Conference until now. The same exact condition of ancient Israel. Truly, Ichabod, the glory of God has departed from the SDA Church. And the last quotation I'm going to share is found in Volume 1 of the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume, page 11. And she says, "The testimony of Jesus," said the angel to John, "is the Spirit of Prophecy," Revelation 19:10. "It is the keeping of the commandments of God and the recognition of the revival of the Spirit of Prophecy by the remnant of the church or the Christians of the last generation that stirs the ire of the dragon." Because the professed SDA church has rejected the warnings of God, apostatized to the truth, and stopped giving the last message of warning of God for a long time, we, the obedient remnant of the SDA Church, the Seventh-day Remnant movement all over the world, we are the Christians of the last generation who are reviving the original spirit of prophecy and who are agitating the anger of Satan, because we are keeping the commandments of God by His help. We are very sure, 100%, that God's holy work will go forward, and this work will be victorious unto the end, whether we march with it or not. But these are the questions I will leave for each one of us today, my dear brothers and sisters. Shall we be victorious with this holy work? Shall we take and hold fast God's banner and lift it high to vindicate the truth and give glory to our God? It is my prayer that all of us here, as well as our beloved family, will continue strive to gain victory with God till the end. Please visit the sdaapostasy.org website for more documentation. And I actually have a more detailed written study about the Ichabod. And you can read it here in gospelorder.com/ichabod.html. And this study was made for a while. And still have to update that page, for there are additional information to be added since the time I made this study. And again, my dear brothers and sisters, Sabbath blessings, everyone. I love you all. I hope and pray that we are all blessed with what we shared this Sabbath day.